I'm Callie Crossley, in for Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, getting schooled on a bus, inner city kids take a special cross-country trip. But first, we like to examine emerging issues in religion in our regular Faith Matters segment. Today, a surprising development for the Southern Baptist Convention. It's the nation's largest evangelical denomination, and it is noted for its conservative beliefs, including its view that women should not become leaders in the ministry. But this Sunday, the Reverend Julie Pennington Russell steps into the pulpit at First Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. That will make it the largest historically Southern Baptist Convention church led by a woman. And Reverend Julie Pennington Russell joins us now to talk about her mission and her spiritual journey. She's with us from member station WCLK in Atlanta. Congratulations and welcome.
Thanks, Callie. I'm glad to be here.
Is the crash I hear the sound of the stained glass ceiling breaking?
Well, I guess I wouldn't say it's probably shattering. Maybe, you know, maybe a slight sliver has been knocked out.
But you feel good about it.
I do. Mostly I just feel good about this congregation. I think it's going to be a great fit.
Well, as we've said, the Southern Baptist Convention is a conservative congregation. In fact, the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention called your appointment tragic. Did the attitudes and the policies of the Southern Baptist Convention ever lead you to question your membership in the Baptist Church?
Well, no. And actually, it may be surprising to folks who are not from the Baptist tradition to learn that there are actually about, 140, 150 different Baptist conventions. And the Southern Baptist Convention is certainly the largest, but it's not the only one. And the Baptist Convention or body with which I affiliate now is the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And they are incredibly open to women and affirming.
Now, you were reared in the Southern Baptist Church, so you've always understood the conservative traditions. You mentioned in an Atlanta Journal-Constitution interview that you once prayed for misguided women who thought that they were called to the ministry. When did that change for you?
Well, it's true. I went to seminary from a very, very conservative church, and I remember my very first semester in seminary out in San Francisco. I'd wake up early every morning and go down to the prayer room and pray for those poor women who thought God was calling them into the ministry. And really, that I think it was at that time while I was in seminary that God began to open up some sky over my faith and my view of the Bible and God and myself and the church. And so that's really when it began for me.
When was the moment of your calling?
You know, my calling really kind of unfolded upon me by degrees. I would say my calling developed for me over a period of, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, and maybe even from the time I was a child. It really just sort of dawned on me one day that this was the direction in which God had been directing me for some time.
Some have pointed to Scripture to suggest that the Bible does not condone women in the pulpit, as in 1 Timothy 2:12, I permit no woman to teach or have authority over men. She is to keep silent. Now, are there Scriptures that you believe supports your being a church leader?
Well, yes, actually, there are many. And I will point out that really one of the problems with that particular Timothy passage, in which Paul is speaking, is that it actually contradicts other places in Scripture. For instance, Paul says a woman should be silent. Also in Corinthians, he says a woman should be silent. But in that very same letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, women, when you speak in church, just make sure you have your heads covered. So my perspective, and I think the perspective of many people who interpret the Bible, is when you have different passages that seem to contradict each other, what you want to do then is to look at the much broader picture of Scripture and see what's going on and try to say, well, what is this problem here? So, I think that what you have to do is not just look at a few verses. And admittedly, we all like to do this, but that's not really a very responsible way of coming at Scripture.
Give me an example of a Scripture that would be supportive of women being in the pulpit.
If the whole reason to stand in a pulpit is to proclaim the good news of God's saving grace, then you really go back to the empty tomb. You know, right after the resurrection of Christ, the women are the ones who appeared. The women are the ones to whom Jesus gave the command to go and tell, and the women's were the first evangelists.
I'm looking for a particular scripture, though, Reverend, because, as you know, a fundamentalist point to scripture as the word. So give me some words that are specific in scripture that supports your being a woman minister.
Well, there are many scriptures, actually. There are a few that are very specific. So if someone wants to have a passage they really want to put their finger on, a very good one for that is Galatians 3:28, when Paul says, there's no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave nor free, there's no longer male or female, you're all one in Christ Jesus. Again, in Acts chapter 2, where we're quoting from the Old Testament, the prophet Joel, and it says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, even on my servants, both men and women. I'll pour out my spirit, and they'll prophesy. And so those are two particular scriptures that I like to point to.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Reverend Julie Pennington Russell. She's the new pastor at the First Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. Now, Reverend, you spent many years ministering in San Francisco and then moved to Waco, Texas. What was that transition like, and have you felt welcome in the churches you've led?
I told people moving from San Francisco to Waco is sort of like a 9 on the Richter scale, culturally, but I found actually quite a warm welcome in Waco.
Even though you encountered protesters when you first began leading the church?
Well, yeah, I guess that's a qualified warm. Yeah, on my first Sunday in the church at Waco at Calvary Baptist Church, there were about 40 protesters who drove across East Texas to be there to welcome me for my first Sunday. One of the most fun moments from that I remember was my family was walking through the picket line, and my son Taylor, who was 7 at the time, was holding my hand, and I felt this little squeeze, and he tugged on my arm and said, Mom, who is Jezebel, and why are they calling you that?
What do you see as your main challenges as you're going to face in your new post at First Baptist?
Well, you know, I think our biggest challenge at First Baptist Church of Decatur is also our greatest opportunity. You know, in Decatur and all around Atlanta, there are people with, you know, spiritual inclinations, and they may not be able to name them, but there's, I guess, I would say there's a space inside that maybe feels empty, and maybe they're discovering that all the hard work in the world, and, you know, or entertainment or building the portfolio is not going to fill that space, because we believe that space was meant for God. And the problem is, and this is where I think the challenge comes in, is that often when people out there, you know, by some great miracle happen to stumble through the doors of a church looking for God, what we try to give them is a whole lot of church structure, you know, programs and committees and offering envelopes and business meetings and bylaws, and then we wonder why they don't come back. So I think that our challenge is to circle around the main thing and to try and let go of some of the peripheral concerns that a very old church, you know, sometimes tends to focus on.
Well, good luck with your new mission.
Well, thanks, Callie. Appreciate that.
Reverend Julie Pennington Russell is the new pastor of First Decatur Baptist Church in Georgia. She joined us from member station WCLK in Atlanta. Thanks for speaking with us.
My pleasure.